all of the games on Saturday, all of the games on Sunday, plus all of the pregame, postgame coverage, people talking about football, people talking about the people that are talking about football. We're just going to watch all of the football. Episode 622 of Diz Runs Radio is a quick tip episode. Today's quick tip: keep what works for you and get rid of the rest. Hey guys, real quick before we dive into today's quick tip episode, which hopefully actually be a quick tip episode. We'll see. We'll see how long I get, how long-winded I get today. But before we dive into to what I've got to share, I want to give a quick second to thank a few folks who have been willing to dive into the Apple iTunes algorithm, which can be anything but intuitive sometimes, especially if you're on your cell phone or whatever. It can be complicated. But a couple of folks have gone in and left reviews in the last few weeks. I want to give them a special shout out. Thanks to La Chapelle, who said it's a great running podcast that covers everything. It says Denny covers everything for runners in a highly energetic way with a realistic but challenging perspective for real life runners. I look forward to his podcast and always learn something valuable to apply to my running and my life. Well, thank you, La Chapelle. That's high praise that you're learning something every time. That's always the goal. I wouldn't be surprised if, I am surprised that I succeed every time. I wouldn't be surprised if I miss the mark on occasion, but, hopefully today you'll learn something as well. But thank you for the review. And also from, Ms. Jen McDonald, 88, says, great support. Whether you're a newbie runner or experienced, you'll find encouragement and practical help for all your running ventures here. Love that he publishes very reliably and always happy to see a new episode show up. Keep up the great work. Well, thank you, Jen. I certainly plan to. No plans on slowing down anytime soon. So thank you for listening. And thank you both for taking the time to leave a review recently. Certainly appreciate those. And everybody who's left a review in the past, thank you. Like I said, I know it's not the easiest thing to do. A little bit of a hassle. Not always the most intuitive thing. But it certainly is appreciated. It certainly helps folks who are thinking about maybe giving the show a chance to get a few different takes on what the show is all about. And hopefully they decide to listen. Hopefully it is helpful for them. So thank you for helping those in the running community that are looking for a new podcast. And thanks for helping me, because it makes it show up a little bit more, or at least that's the theory. Helps it to show up in iTunes during search, and more eyeballs on the show means more things that we can do, more opportunities that we have that I can extend to you as well. So thank you again, Jen and La Chapelle, for the reviews. So today, I don't know if this is a little bit of me tucking my tail between my legs and coming back for more, or exactly what this is. But one thing that I've noticed of late is a tendency to look for kind of black and white in everything. And this applies to running advice. It applies to things outside of running as well. You know, whether you're talking about politics, religion, economics, social justice, whatever it is, all those kind of like third rail topics that nobody likes to talk about or gets people fired up and defensive. It's tends to be, from my observation, which may be biased, it may be wrong, it may be misinformed, it may be a bunch of things, but from where I sit, it seems like a lot of things are either black or white. They're yes or no. And if you disagree with one little thing, it invalidates everything else. You throw the baby out with the bathwater, if you will, in a lot of cases. And I've noticed that somewhat a bit much lately, even within the Facebook group a little bit, in some of the conversations that have been raised, questions, and it's not been in a bad way. It's not been in an attacking way. It's just something that's kind of a little theme that I've noticed. And I wanted to address it a little bit here, in hopes that we can just get a little bit of perspective. Sometimes take a zoom out a little bit and recognize that when somebody's giving you advice, whether it's me, whether it's a friend, whether it's an online stranger, but well-meaning, somebody that's in the Facebook group or you're connected with on social media, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, when you're asking questions or you're asking advice or there's conversations going on, most people are going to try to give you the best advice possible. Most people are going to try to help you. Most people are good. I like to think I'm a good person. I like to think that I'm always trying to help. But when I'm doing so, or when others are trying to help you as well, there may be some things that are said or that are added or that are misinterpreted or miscommunicated that takes the message not quite perfect. Takes it away from the absolute bullseye and shifts it out a ring or two. Still a good bit of advice. Still some useful things in there. But some that maybe don't apply to you. Some that are maybe things that, you know, that just don't work for you and your situation. And in that case, it's real easy to just dismiss everything. Say, well, because of X, because of this thing that doesn't apply to me, the rest of this advice is invalid for me. And in some cases, that's true. But in a lot of cases, that doesn't have to happen. We can separate out the good bits of advice, the helpful bits, the useful bits, the things that maybe will apply to us, but we have to test them out first to make sure, and separate out the things that don't apply or don't relate in this particular situation. And that gives us some good things to use, some good things to try, some good bits of advice that may help us move forward, that may move us closer to our goals or keep us healthy or whatever it is. I'm reminded along this topic of something that my friend and a friend of many of you, at least many of you old timers from the Facebook group, Mr. Stephen Lee, the late Stephen Lee, said. I'm pretty sure he said this when he was on the podcast, but I know I've heard him say it a few different times in various communications that we've had, where he said that, you know, everything that you read on the internet is both 100% true and 100% bullshit, meaning that when somebody is trying to give you that advice, when you ask somebody a question, or when I'm doing these quick tips or trying to inform and educate and help you a little bit, what I'm doing and what that person is doing when they're responding to you is giving you their truth, telling you things that hopefully they've tried before, experiences that they've had. You know, last week I talked about the Pocatello Marathon and I gave you my 100% true take on the race. But somebody else who ran that race, who ran the same race, who ran with me on race day, may find that some of the things I said to be completely different from their truth. So they might see that my story is as 100% bullshit. It doesn't make my story less true. It just makes it different from their experience, which is probably the case. We're all different. We're all unique runners. We all had our own strengths and weaknesses on race day, and you know, and that same logic applies to other things. When I'm talking about whatever it is, training styles or benefits of doing something this way or warming up or cooling down or whatever it is, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to give you the honest truth from my perspective, from my experience, from the times I've tried it, the experiences that my clients have had. I'm sharing that with you, but it may not always work for you. It may not be the same thing for you. But again, that doesn't mean that we have to just get rid of everything. We can keep some of those nuggets. We can keep some of those benefits. We just have to cipher out, all right, well, what doesn't work in this situation and what does? So a couple of examples of things of recent experience that'll maybe give you a bit of a clearer picture about what I'm actually talking about, what I'm trying to get across here, and some ways where you can kind of look at a conversation or an article or a podcast episode and have an idea of how to weed out what applies and what doesn't. So last week, Friday, I got into it. I went into last week, Friday's Friday Five, which if you're not familiar, in the Facebook group, every Friday evening, for those that have nothing better to do with their lives on a Friday than hang out with me, I jump on a live stream and call it the Friday Five. So it's my take on five topics, sometimes related to running, very often completely non-related to running. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot of banter back and forth from those that are watching live, and comments from those who are watching the replay. And we have a good time picking on each other and cracking some jokes and having some fun. And last week, because, you know, if you listen to this when this comes out, it's much more relevant. But, you know, in the future, you know, I'm recording this the week after the NFL season started for 2018, which is 2 weeks after the college football season started. So Friday night, you know, big football weekend, NFL starting, college football is getting going. You know, knowing Americans, because I am one of them, knowing us, there's a lot of people that were excited about watching a whole weekend of football. All the games on Friday, all the games on, or I guess all the games on Saturday, maybe one or two games probably were played on Friday, but all of the games on Saturday, all of the games on Sunday, plus all of the pregame, postgame coverage, people talking about football, people talking about the people that are talking about football. We're just going to watch all of the football. So my approach for last Friday's Friday Five was to go ruffle some feathers a bit and say, hey, don't watch all the football. Don't watch all the football. There's things that you can do this weekend besides just sitting on the couch for 12 plus hours each day that'll actually do much more for you as a runner and as a person than just sitting there watching all the football games. Now, my point in this, and of course that ruffled some feathers. I got some kickback. My wife was pissed. She locked me out of the house because I usually do these on the back porch, mostly in jest, but she was very upset with me. When I came in, and I couldn't really understand why, because my point wasn't that football's bad. My point wasn't that watching your team is a bad thing. My point wasn't that watching a couple of games is a bad thing. My point wasn't that football's a bad thing at all, although I may have kind of waded into that a little bit, but that wasn't the point. My point was that just sitting on the couch for 12 plus hours back-to-back days doing nothing but watching football that, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Your team plays one of those games, or maybe you have a team on Saturday and a team on Sunday. So you've got two games that your teams are playing, but then you've got four games, five games, six other games that you end up watching where your teams aren't playing. Well, in those games that don't really matter, that aren't something that you're really invested in because your team's not playing, maybe there's something else you could do to help you, you know, just for a little bit, just to sacrifice 20 minutes or 30 minutes or sacrifice that time between games when the talking heads are talking about football. Do something else. Get some yoga in. Go for a walk. Go for a bike ride. Do some meal prep. Maybe, you know, instead of staying up late to watch the late night game, just go to bed. If your team's not playing, go to bed. Especially, you know, if it's not a marquee matchup, some really great, interesting, you know, number one versus number two type of game, go to bed. So what I was trying to say, the message that I was trying to convey is we don't need to watch 24 hours of football a weekend to still be football fans, to still get our fix. We can do something else with some of those hours to improve our running, improve our health, improve our lives instead of just watching football. But the message that was received was don't watch, like, this guy's telling me to not watch football this weekend. What the hell's wrong with him? There were nuggets in there that I think were missed because the black and white was either watch football or don't watch football, and I'm not going to take his advice to not watch football. But there were, you know, there was trying to be some nuggets in there that were helpful. And maybe I came about it the wrong way. Maybe going in it kind of attacking and planning to ruffle feathers didn't work. But, you know, I think my message was missed. So that's one example. Another example: running by heart rate. Lots of heart rate questions that have come up lately. And you know, I've been talking about it for almost a year now. I've been all in on heart rate for the entirety of 2018. And quite honestly, I have no plans on stopping when 2018 ends. Things are really starting to progress. I'm seeing the benefits of it. I'm feeling great. No aches and pains and injuries and things like that. Heart rate training is working. And I've talked about it several times. And I've talked about the benefits of a heart rate strap versus trying to use the monitor on your wrist versus trying to just run by perceived effort. Without question, the science is clear. The heart rate strap gives you the most consistently accurate results. Now, your watch with the heart rate monitor on it, if you have one of those watches, it's pretty close most of the time. It can be off, but it's not like it's way off dramatically every time. Every once in a while, it might be a little bit wonky, but for the most part, it's pretty darn close. Is it as reliably and consistently accurate as a heart rate strap? No. So people hear that and think that, well, if they don't use the heart rate strap, they can't train by heart rate because it's not as accurate. And you know, yes, accuracy matters, but come on, let's not lose the forest for the trees here. If you don't have a strap or you find the strap to be very uncomfortable, especially for the ladies trying to figure out how to position the strap with your sports bra, it's admittedly, that's an extra variable, an extra layer of clothing and navigation that us guys don't have to worry about. Trying to make that work, be comfortable, can be a hassle. All right. And if you've got it on your watch, you're like, well, maybe this is good enough. It might be, but you just need to be aware, again, that there is some variance with the heart rate. If you don't, you know, I have one client who was trying to do the heart rate thing, but the data, it would just spike for no good reason. And it was sporadic. It wasn't predictable. Couldn't figure out what the deal was. And trying to stay within the heart rate zones was causing more stress than it was worth. So he said, just get rid of the heart rate strap. Stick with running easy. Listen to your body. Is it as good? No. But it's still, you know, the principle here is that we need to run easy most of the time. That more often than not, if you're running easy, pushing hard on occasion, but running at a comfortably easy pace for your body, comfortably easy level of effort. Pace may go up and down, but the effort is what we're looking for here. If you do that most of the time, you'll become a more efficient runner. You're less likely to break down due to injury, and you're going to see that your pace is improving while the level of exertion stays the same. That's the benefits of heart rate training, and I believe in them completely. The science is pretty clear, and maybe having the heart rate strap is the best thing. But that doesn't mean that if you don't have a strap, you don't like a strap, it's not comfortable. That doesn't mean you need to just throw out the whole idea of heart rate training. There are other options. There are other ways to get there. The main theme that running easy is good for you, helpful for you, will make you faster in the long run, that's still accurate. That's still true. And if you need to navigate a little bit, you need to throw out the heart rate strap and go by your wristwatch or go by perceived exertion. You'll still get there. You'll still get to the same end result if you're consistent and disciplined with it. So, you know, that's another example. And then the last one, which you can probably get to pretty quickly here, are all things diet related. I get so many questions about what I should eat, when I should eat, you know, before, during, after, daily life, all things diet related. And again, there's no shortage of possibilities. There's no shortage of right answers here. My right answer right now, if you ask me what I eat, I am definitely all in on the high fat, low carb, kind of want to call it paleo, whatever you want to call it. That's what I do. I eat mostly fats and proteins, a little bit of carbs, and that's what works for me. Ultimately, you got to find out what works for you. It could be something similar. It could be a blend. It could be more carbs, whatever. You got to find out what works for you. But sometimes, you know, people ask and I answer, and then it's because it's not their answer, they throw it out. But they miss, again, the underlying themes here. They throw the baby out with the bathwater, and what I would hope that everybody would take from any type of diet-related subject, and it's something that I think that everybody can agree on, no matter where you sit on the vegan, keto, paleo, vegetarian, high-carb, standard, you know, kind of running endurance type of diet. I think we would all have pretty good agreement that quality matters. Eat high-quality foods. Eat the least amount of processed foods as possible. Fresh, local. You know, organic is usually a pretty good idea as well. Staying away from the process, the deep fries, the things that are low quality. That's the key takeaway. But as soon as you tell somebody, oh, I'm paleo, or oh, I'm vegan, or oh, I'm keto, or oh, I'm whatever, people just throw everything that you say away, thinking that you're just in that one camp, and nothing that you can say is going to be useful. Because I'm not in that same way of eating. And that's not the case. There's always good things that you can take away. There's always things that we can learn and use that are going to help us. And we just have to separate the wheat from the chaff. We just have to pick out the good bits, pick out the things that are helpful for us, and be willing to get rid of the rest, but not throw it all out together. Okay? So I hope that this all makes sense. I hope that, you know, these are some definite real-world examples that I've seen, you know, within the last week or two, in the Facebook group, on social media, things like that, where we're just quick to throw everything out because one variable didn't seem to be working or wasn't what we expected. But the better approach, in my opinion, and again, this is me giving you my 100% truth, but you may see it as 100% bullshit, and that's okay. The key takeaway from my point of view is that there's very rarely black and white. There's very rarely 100% true, 100% false. There's a lot of blend. There's a lot of mix in there. Take out the good. Separate the things that sound like they might work and try them. And if there's something that doesn't relate to you, just get rid of it. Just get rid of it and keep moving forward, trying the new things, trying those good bits of advice, those good tips, those helpful things. Try them out. If they work, keep them. And if not, get rid of them too. Get rid of them too. So that is it for today. That is today's quick tip. Let me know what you think. Hopefully, like I said, hopefully this landed. Hopefully it made a little sense. If it did, let me know. If it didn't, let me know. At DizRuns on the Twitter, DizRuns@gmail.com. And of course, DizRuns.com/262. Not 262. Come on, Diz. Get your story straight. 622. DizRuns.com/622. We'll take you to the show notes for today. Lots of memes, or lots of GIFs, a couple of memes, and some links and other shenanigans on the webpage as well. DizRuns.com/622. And with that, thanks again to Jen and La Chapelle for leaving the reviews in the last few weeks. Much appreciated. And if you would be so inclined as to head over to iTunes and leave a review, I would appreciate that as well. And until next time, thank you all for listening. Thanks for all the ways that you support the show, reviews and Patreons and shares and mentions and telling folks about it. It means a lot. The show is continuing to grow, and it's because of you. It's because of you. So thank you for all you do. Until next time, please be well. Take good care. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk soon, all right? See you.